Good morning. It is great to be able to be here this morning and share this time with you all. If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles back to 2 Corinthians. We are going to be in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Title of this morning's message is Keeping Eternity in Mind. Maybe a little bit through God's providence, Mark's prayer during the pastoral prayer time touched on so many parts of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Keeping eternity in mind, keeping an eternal focus, how we can do that. Now, as we get ready to unpack this, I want to provide a small disclaimer, and that disclaimer is this message was for me first. As was doing research and writing this, I found myself convicted over and over of how much I fall short of what I'm about to share with you. So, we're on this journey and this ride together. So, starting in verse 16, I'll read 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, first point in today's message is we keep eternity in mind by remembering the calling we're given. So Paul says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Now if you look back to verse 1 of chapter 4, what does Paul say? He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy and we do not lose heart. He gives us several reasons through chapter 4 why he is not discouraged, why he continues to move forward. And we see those in verses 1, 14, and 15. Commentator Murray Harris breaks these down nicely. So in verse 1, he remembers his divine commission as a minister of the new and superior covenant. In verse 14, he remembers to not lose heart because of the prospect of sharing Christ's triumphal resurrection from the dead. And then in verse 15, his immediate task of promoting the Corinthians' spiritual welfare and the glory of God. So what is this ministry, this divine calling that he's been given? It was a great calling that God placed on his life. Paul preached boldly because he understood the value of the gift that he'd been given and the ministry he'd been given to proclaim. He was able to move forward and not lose heart because he understood the eternal value of the ministry that God had given him. Now, since Paul echoes this theme of not losing heart, first in verse 1 and then here in verse 16, I thought, well, maybe we need to take a closer look at what it means to not lose heart. Now, on a surface level, we can say, okay, well, don't lose heart. You know, be encouraged. But there's a little bit more to that in the original Greek. So it's actually a combination of two Greek words, ek, which means to come out of, and kakos, which just usually means bad, but you put the two together. Strictly speaking, means to behave badly in some circumstance. It can mean to give in to evil. It can mean to convey the idea of being weary or growing tired. A commentator, last name of Wood, says the verb of this Greek word means to become good for nothing, to grow faint, to be discouraged. Another commentator writes, it means that it's not to be discouraged, and it may be expressed in an idiomatic way, such as not losing heart, not to give up, not to run away, not to think that all is lost. Now, every time this word is used in the New Testament, it always has the negative of not in front of it. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose your enthusiasm. Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary or be tired. Do not faint. It always is a command. Do not. Paul, I think, says this in a nice way in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Now, that word of do not lose heart is not used in that passage, but the mindset of Paul is always moving forward. It is never stopping, always going forward. So we keep eternity in mind by not losing heart. Second point today is we keep eternity in mind by being renewed each day. So look at the second part of verse 16 here. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So Paul indicates here there's two parts to every man and woman. There's the outward man and there's the inward man. Now, we all know this. We all, as believers, know that we have a body and that we have a soul. But do we, on a daily basis, think of our soul as needing renewal each and every day? I know I don't. I get focused on work. I get focused on my kids. I get focused on splitting wood. That's apparently a thing that I really enjoy now, is splitting firewood and just want to go do that, want to work on my fence, want to work on this, and you get to the end of the day and you go, I haven't given the daily renewal of the inner man even a second thought today. It is so easy to get wrapped up in what we're doing. We feed our physical body, but we forget about our spiritual body. Now, for the unbeliever, the outward man is perishing. So is the inward man, because there is no hope of renewal. There is nothing there to be renewed each day. We have that opportunity. Now, Paul looks at this relationship between the inward man and the outward man, and he kind of touches on that in verses 7 and 11, where he speaks of the earthen vessel or that jar of clay. And in verse 11, says, we've always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He understands the physical part of our bodies, but that inward man also. As I was reading this and studying, I thought of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, just on this, on the very much on the surface level, the obvious application of that, right, is give us what we need for our physical body today. Provide physically for us today. But I think biblically, just the principle of that, if Jesus is the bread of life, and we say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Yes, it is a provision for our physical bodies, but Lord, give me today what I need spiritually. Lord, give me the strength or the wisdom or the discernment or the things that I need today for whatever struggles will be ahead of me, and that there can be that daily renewal. So God has already met our greatest spiritual need of forgiveness and restoration, but we need to remember that he is the bread of life and we need to seek him daily. So we keep eternity in mind by being renewed daily. Number three this morning is that we keep eternity in mind by remembering that our suffering or our affliction is short. Now, you can read verse 17 here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and you can think, well, okay, Paul, we'll hold up a second. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what a friend of mine's been through. You don't know what the family, you don't know. How can you say our light affliction? It can be easy to scoff at that, to almost be offended at what Paul is saying here, because there's no way that he could possibly say. But we have to remember that Paul is no stranger to affliction and to trial. If anything, I would say Paul almost had a master's degree in suffering. And we can see that if we look at, flip back up, or flip forward a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, listen to what Paul has to say. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I'm going to read one more verse. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Paul was no stranger to suffering. Paul was no stranger to affliction, and so he says, our affliction is light. How can he say that? Well, in the scope of eternity, what is this moment? In the scope of all of eternity, our afflictions are for only a moment. I think the only way that we can even maybe begin to little bit grasp this is just in the little things that affect us that come and go. Those things where you have a problem and you think, oh, this, what are we going to do? And it resolves itself quickly. You guys, I'm sure, have all had those times where your mind blows it completely out of proportion and then, oh. I think that's the only way we can maybe even begin to kind of glimpse this, of the sufferings or the pains or the trials that come and go. The commentator David Guzik has 6 statements that I think are so beneficial to this concept and to this idea. Our affliction is light compared to what others are suffering. No matter how bad we think we have it, there's probably some who are suffering worse. Our affliction is light compared to what we deserve. We don't like to think about it, but our sin against a holy God, and it's only by His grace that we are saved. So our affliction is light compared to what we deserve. Our affliction is light compared to what Jesus suffered for us. And there is no comparison to what we're going through, to what He suffered spiritually, physically, and emotionally on the cross for our sins. Our affliction is light compared to the blessings that we enjoy. We often will ask ourselves, either of ourselves or of looking at someone else who is suffering, and we'll either say, what have we done to deserve this, or what have they done to deserve this? There's no way that this is fair or right, or a just plug in, you know, the comment there. But our affliction is light compared to the blessings we enjoy, because what we should be asking is that question of, why do I deserve this, when we look at our blessings? We look at the good things in life that God has given us. God, why do I deserve that? When you look at the blessings compared to the afflictions, our affliction is light. Number five, our affliction is light compared to the sustaining power of God's grace. He can and does strengthen us, and we need to humbly receive what he's given. And lastly, our affliction is light compared to the glory that it leads to. God has eternal glories to work in us through our present affliction, including all the bumps and bruises we're going to get along the way. But we have to remember to look to him. And lastly, I just want to add, this in no way is to say that the afflictions or the trials or the things that we go through are not real and they are not heavy and they are not hard. They are real. But in the scope of eternity, they are light, and that is what Paul is saying. He's looking at everything he's been through. It was very real. But he says, there's something better that we're working for and moving towards. So in verse 17, it says that these light and momentary afflictions are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So God wants to use these trials in our lives, our light affliction, to produce eternal blessings, to produce an eternal weight of glory. He wants to use these daily difficulties to grow our spiritual capacity to experience him more, to experience the eternal realities of our life even more. Now, a life of great difficulty here on earth does not necessarily guarantee an enriched experience in heaven or the storing up of treasures in heaven, because we are to look at the things which are not seen instead of the things which are seen. If we just take these trials and afflictions and we never once turn, we never once remember who we are serving, the ministry that we are given, and we just find ourselves down in the dirt of just woe is me and never once look up, those afflictions, those trials will not produce this eternal weight of glory, will not grow to that. So we have to remember to always keep in mind. So we keep eternity in mind by remembering that our suffering is short. And lastly, we keep eternity in mind by focusing on eternal things. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now this one is, this is probably the toughest verse of these three for me. This was the, I already touched on this, of how easy it is to get so focused on the day by day that we don't even give ourselves a chance to think about eternity. Until we're here on Sunday morning, we're listening to the message, it can be so easy to think, well, maybe see if I work really hard and then I get that raise and then if I do this and then, you know, yeah, then that and then this is coming and this is coming. Or, well, if we save enough money, we could buy, we could travel, we could do all these things. It's so easy to get wrapped up in the here and now, only looking at the things which are seen. Now, Is there anything wrong with working hard and using the talents that God has given you? Absolutely not. But when they become the focus, when they become the only thing that we're thinking of and the only thing we are striving towards, we don't maintain an eternal focus, then as Pastor Phil said a few weeks ago, we need a course correction. We need to turn around, go the opposite way, and go, you know, it's not the things of this world. It's not the raise. It's not a different job. It's not fill in the blank for wherever you're at. It's not about those things. We can so easily waste our time, our struggles, our affliction by focusing on the things that are seen, on our own wisdom. Looking at our life that way fosters temporal frustrations and not eternal blessings. Now, I've brought an illustration with me this morning that I saw long, long time ago, and it's really stuck with me. I did not come up with this. See how well I knotted my rope up here. A little bit of a visual that I think applies to this morning. I did a good job. I even thought, I'll wrap this up like I did climbing rope when I was doing low ropes courses, and this would be great. So I want you to imagine this rope as eternity, if you will. I'm going to dash the other end over here so you can't see it. And then you just have to pretend that this end isn't here, okay? That this rope just goes on, okay? So this rope's eternity. This little black section, this is our life, okay? And we think, okay, you know, we're kids. All right, if I just get through school, if I just get through school, if I can just make it to that, then I'll be out on my own and it's going to be great. And then you get to be an adult and you go, wow, it was a lot easier being a kid. And you think, okay, all right, well, you know, oh, I got my first house. This is going to be great. And you go, wow, that mortgage payment is really tough. I didn't expect it to be that much. And then you go and you think, okay, well, I'm going to work really, really hard and I'm going to do, so that way when I get to here, we can travel, we can buy an RV, we can do all these things, and we never, look at all this. We focus here. How much longer is eternity? We get this much time to make a difference for all this. And like I said when I started, this is for me. There were points of this message that I was like, I don't know if I can talk about this, because it's tough. Now, this illustration, I really think that God laid it on my heart to share. When I was asked to teach and to fill in a few days after, and I had just prayed of God, what do you want to say? Now, a few days later, this illustration popped into my head, and I didn't think twice about it. It was kind of one of those moments where I went, oh, yeah, I saw that probably 15 years ago. Just kind of, that's interesting. Yeah. Popped into my mind, you know. And no kidding, so that I was at work. I get home in the evening, and on my Facebook feed was the clip of the pastor who did this illustration. I didn't search for it. I hadn't said anything. I hadn't even, it was a fleeting thought early in that day, and then for the first time in really 15 years, all of a sudden, this illustration's on my Facebook feed, and I'm okay. Well, I better That's just, it's not a coincidence. So that's where this all started on this message of focusing on eternity, that we have this much to store up treasure, to serve God, to focus on Him, so that for all this other time, when we're in the presence of God, I don't want to say that we have something to show for it. That's not the right words. But if you can understand the intent of what I'm saying. Let's not waste our time. Let's not waste this short little ride that we have on storing up treasure, the eternal weight of glory. Our afflictions may not seem light, they don't feel light, they're never easy, but let's do our best to keep that eternal perspective, to make sure that each day we're being renewed, that we're focusing on eternal things. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. You are so, so good to us, and we often forget to say thank you. I pray that eternity would be on our minds each and every day, Lord, that your goodness would be in our heart and in our mind, and that we would strive to have that eternal focus, that we would strive to turn our each and every day and of what we experience into those eternal weight of glory for you. Let this be for everybody, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.